Hey, bro, I'm definitely looking forward to you being on the Primo Smoke Room when we do it.
What?
I said, from when I look at that bra, I'm damn sure looking forward to the Primo Smoke Room when we do it.
Yeah, it's holding on by a thread.
All right. See, and such a beautiful smile on top of that.
Thank you.
So how are you doing today, gorgeous?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. A little tired, but and it was crazy. I was off work, my 9-to-5, but I've been recording podcast episodes all day. Yes, I got some shit for y'all. Bring the smoke room and for the smoke
room. Yeah.
I feel like I'll never get enough fucking sleep.
It never happens anymore, does it? Like, you reach a certain age and you're like, well, good enough. Liquid sleep for the win.
Yeah. It's like I got more sleep in my 20s than I do now as an older man. And I don't understand how that was even possible. With the 20s, I was really cutting the food, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what you was up to today? How's your weekend been? How's your Monday?
My weekend was like a 3-day weekend, so it was pretty good. Today I just kind of relaxed a little bit, and I played some Fortnite and did some laundry and stuff here and there, not like a bunch of stuff today. Mm-hmm. How about you? Besides like too much work and not enough rest.
Just like I said, took naps in between the shows.
Perfect.
One nap here, one nap there. So this is how we're going to start this. How do the people react when you do a cum walk?
How do they or how did they?
How do they react when you do a cum walk?
Like,
do they even notice that you got cum on your
or
face?
Or like people who like buy the material? Like people who might see me?
People that might see you. People that buy the material, we already know the reaction to them. That's a turn on and jerk. I'm talking about when you out in the street with a face full of fucking cum, how do the people that are walking the streets react to you with a face full of cum?
Well, I want to do it again because the first time I did it was kind of on the fly and I played it safe and it was a really quiet time of the day.
You better
so not reaction at all.
I talked to people that did a cum walk in New York. In Times Square. So there you
go. My goodness. I want to do something like a bit more like that. And I went out to go get the mail the first time I did one and it was pretty chilly. So like the wind hitting my face, it was all wet on one side and I was trying not to like, you know, on the way outside, I was like, just play cool, like, you know, nothing to see here.
I wonder, I said, I hope she didn't do this cum roll when it was like, god dang it, frigid weather. Could that be real fucked up with the cum on my face?
It was almost like dripping off of me. It was a lot. I hope to do it again in a more reactive area. That would be fun.
So what made you decide to do it?
It was a custom.
Okay.
Somebody inquired if I had any of that. And I said, no, actually, I've never done anything like that. And they're like, you can just like go check your mail or whatever. And that's what I did. And after they bought it, I put the price down because I did like the custom price. And then once they purchased it, I put the price down a little bit. So
when you do a custom, how do you price it differently from the original custom? Because we all know the customs cost, you know what I'm saying? So, and sometimes the fans don't want you to put out the custom when you're able to put out the custom. How do you necessarily price it? I know you ain't gonna have as high as the original, but how do you price it?
99% of the customs I've ever done have been private.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple that I have put up on like fetish sites after the fact or 6 months or a year after I've even made any type of contact with the person that originally purchased it. I'll let them know in advance, like, do you want this all for yourself? That runs a different price range, like if they want their name in it or something. Otherwise, I'm pretty negotiable when it comes to custom stuff because I have fun doing it and I want people to be able to enjoy the content. Mm-hmm. So usually when I make the customs, it either goes like straight to them, straight to their DM, you know, write to the fan DM or whatever. The cum walk was like, I think one of the first ones I've ever like put up, because they didn't want it like custom order that way, which is fine. Because I still ended up like getting the video, and if they didn't, then I mean, I added a video up. So
yeah. So maybe how did you price it though? The video you put it up.
It was like a little over a minute, and I just did $5 on their end, which was less for me because we all know the sites take almost half of everything.
Yeah.
So
wait, hold on. I'm about to get on your sexy ass. If you don't bump that shit up to $10 to $12 damn dollars so you can make your fucking money, you are a fucking porn star. You have shot with top talent. You're one of the baddest girls in the fucking game. You're no longer a content creator. We don't do content creator prices here.
Fair enough. You heard it here first. I'm jacking the prices up on the first.
No, because I think what hurt our business was when OnlyFans took over and became the content creator era. It lessened the price of porn itself because the girls and the porn stars are guilty of this. The prices with the girls. No, I don't do discounts. I do them every once in a blue moon, and I'm retired. I would never get any new content. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with the free subscription. I don't agree with the $3 for 30 spots because we work too fucking hard for these scenes. But shortchange ourselves. Them fans will buy it. If they love you, they're going to buy it regardless. You know, that's just my opinion. And that's from the shit that I've seen, bump your prices up, boo. Don't shortchange yourself.
Fair enough. I will. And that's another thing. When I started on like a fetish site, like a subscription only fetish site. It was based out of Europe, and it was like just strictly pics, vids, like some physical items they used or whatever. And then after I was on there for a while, some other people came on and they were charging like dirt cheap prices just to get sales and get their numbers up, because it was like a rating system and like sales meant like banking and all this other stuff. And so when it got to that, I was like, I'm never going to make a sale. People are going to think I'm scamming them because it took so long because of people who scam to even get like my first like couple sales. Mm-hmm. Like I worked so fucking hard, like 6 months, right? I'm not even joking. And so I got those first sales and I did that for like a year, year and a half. And it was like not the start of the pandemic, but like a year in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been working a regular job, a vanilla job, like, this whole time, and just doing this on the side, like, in between stuff and, you know, mailing stuff, sending stuff, Dropboxing it, you know, whatever. And so, there was a lady that went off the site, and then she came back on before she canceled her stuff and said, you guys are charging way too less, or wait, you know, like, way less than what you should. You charge a lot more.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, and I'm like, well, if they've been to other places and other sites, then what am I missing out on? So I branched off to the only platform I knew at that time, because I knew there was other ones. So I hopped on OnlyFans. I struggled on there for like 6 months to get like a decent, you know, following. And then I started charging like $5 a month. And then like, it just started dwindling down to like single digit subscribers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, pushing content weekly. I'm like on different platforms. I made an Instagram, I made a Twitter, now X. and then I started branching onto other platforms because I realized how vanilla OnlyFans was compared to like the fetishy stuff that I really enjoyed making. Mm-hmm. And the kinky stuff, like there's stuff there you can't do, you can't say, you can't use the word flogger. And I felt like it was really inhibiting me. And other people I knew were getting their accounts deleted for no reason. It was hard to like verify creators that aren't already on the platform. Like there was a lot of hurdles there. So I was having to make content specifically just for OnlyFans. And then like the other stuff was going like other places. Yeah. So I did the unthinkable, was I made my OnlyFans free. And I said, listen, I'm only going to be here for lives, custom orders. I'm going to post like once or twice a month just to keep the profile active for my co-stars. Mm-hmm. And I put my link tree in my bio, and I've had, I went from like 6 subscribers. I just hit 81 this morning in like a month. I've had a couple tips now. I've had a couple custom orders just through the site. And some of the other people that are on there either found me through other people or they're finding, you know, I feel like the ebb and flow is a little bit easier having it free. I didn't want to do it, but I was like, you know what? I put so much time and money and investment in this. Mm-hmm. It's an archive of stuff. So if you come in here, you like what you see, you bust a nut, whatever, go find the other stuff. All I did was take my Cash App or, you know, your Venmo out of the link tree. And they can't stop you from having that in there because there's stuff on those other platforms like Loyal Fans and many vids that they don't offer on OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't be able to ding you for that as long as you don't have like a secondary direct cash platform.
Yeah.
In a link tree, because that's what stops you.
Yeah. So with that being said, people, welcome to the Smokers Lounge. You know who I am. I'm Kevin Officer, a champ, aka the porn rap star. Find all my links with one link, allmylinks.com/pornrapstar. We are sponsored by, first, the hottest adult magazine in the game, RodSizzleMagazine.com. And last, award-winning, award-nominated, we're talking about VoiceOver with Smut. And they even have an award-nominated virtual reality side of their website. I'm talking about none other than BlushErotica.com. Also, we're a proud member of the GW District Black Podcast Network. So go over to shopgwdistrict.com and buy something. Also find me on fullswapradio.com as well as skyhawkappadogtv.com as well as the BGP LLC app. Now I'm going to sit back and let this gorgeous for lunch with sexy lady who is looking to walk in your town with a face full of cum dripping so y'all can be in shock and awe. Introduce herself. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Lacey Fox. And I have done a cum walk before. I like to do more of them. I like to do other fetish stuff and different ideas. And one thing that I really want to start doing that I haven't is use strange items as play toys.
Let's start there. Because you don't see that now. Now, I saw that when I was coming in. I seen girls use broomsticks. Use fruit.
Hairbrushes.
Yeah, hairbrushes. And cucumbers. Definitely cucumbers, because that's the main food that you can actually use. You don't want to use a carrot.
I've done the cucumber thing, beer bottles. Yeah. And this was all like before I even did any porn stuff. So it was like.
So you came from the fetish world before you started doing porn, for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was more kinky most of my life, even up until now. And there's a lot of inhibitors for me even doing porn. Like, I was just like, well, I'm not, you know, like 6 foot, or I'm not 135 pounds, or, you know, all those other, like, excuse me, status quo things that we assume porn to be. And I was just like, I hit like the MILF age, and I was like, maybe I should give this a shot before I changed my mind. And I'm glad I did, because I've had so much fun and I love doing the fetish stuff, like the used clothing. I've been thinking about starting like a subscription, like where you can, you know, a monthly subscription, and I'll just send you, like, you choose the garment you want for this month or whatever. And I think that would be really fun to do and plan ahead of time and send those kinds of things to people where they know they can come home from a hard day and, you know, go bust a nut with my underwear or socks, or I'm actually been saving my hair to make a loofah. And I have roughly a year's worth of fingernail clippings saved, because you never know when somebody might want to buy them. So
I mean, hell, they sit there and buy fucking piss in the jar, squirt in the jar. Shit, some of it will buy shit in the damn bag. There you go. So when you say that you were extreme kink fetish, explain to my smokers what you meant by that.
Extreme?
Yeah.
I have talked and work with, and some of these items I've not made myself. I've come across them. Mm-hmm. Like poop crayons, like, or baking supplies. Like, you make brownies and they actually have, you know, feces in them and scat. Mm-hmm. Where you mix wax and scat and make a crayon out of it. I would say the strangest inquiry I ever had, and I mean strange in like the most loving way, off the wall kind of thing, because I'm not a kink shamer. Like, I just love it all. I love it. It's so interesting to hear what people are interested in and what they're into, where that comes from. But anyway, I would have to say somebody had inquired with me once about a used pair of slippers that were covered in bubble gum and stuff out of my vacuum bag. Like, stuck in the gum. It got to the point where I was, like, starting to, like, get into the details. And I don't know if they got cold feet or whatever. I did not get to make it, but I really would have liked to. I've sold suckers that I've stuck in my ass and in my pussy before. Mm-hmm. So... are those, like, I never asked about, like, the words I can use.
This is the smoker's lounge.
Okay, good.
You can smoke. We cuss on here. It's we want to be honest. We ain't like other podcasts. We don't sugarcoat nothing. But go ahead.
Okay. I was like, oops. So anyway, yeah, that's one of the most interesting and messy things that I've sold and I've done. There's so many things I've, like, thought about doing, like pussy prints, you know, where I sit on something and, you know, do murals with just my boobs dragging because they're, like, really big and long, so.
And how big are they?
A G-cup.
G-cup.
A G.
Good.
G, like, ginormous.
Oh, my goodness. It, don't worry, premium smokers. We'll get to see them G's when you come to premium smoke room. So there you go. So what got you into the business to begin with? And then we'll transition to porn.
I've always been really sexual and interested in things out of the ordinary, I guess. And so, you know, during the height of the pandemic, I was just trying to be safer and find things to do at home. Mm-hmm. And so I was on a social platform and came across somebody who sold used underwear, used clothing, used whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that sounds like something fun and, you know, kind of mildly interactive. Because at this point, I wasn't ready to, like, fully branch out and, like, do all the things. So that's kind of where it started. But I've definitely gotten in touch a lot more with, like, my kinkier and my sexual side, just by knowing it's okay to be open and that there's an accepting, you know, arena of people who are okay with that. Like, it just never occurred to me, you know, that things that I felt like weren't in the norm or would be accepted by other people. Mm-hmm. So it's very refreshing and very liberating to know that they're out there and that people want to hear about what I want to shove in my pussy.
No, because just like you were saying, you was a MILF, your height, your size, your weight, BBWs are killing it in the business. Women are coming into business older. They're not coming in young anymore, you know? So in Asia Ivy, you came in at the right time because I told everybody, when Miss Stifler became a thing and Miss Parker, it opened the door for males and older women. Because men already want, always like older women anyway. The housewife, the MILF, and all that good stuff. You know, think how many motherfuckers love, what was her damn name? Miss Brady. And Claire Huxtable.
I don't know. I remember that. Jane was a girl, one of the girls.
So that's not a surprise on that. So, you was doing the extreme fetish or what have you. So with that, you was just basically doing fetish videos and you were doing custom videos at the time?
Yeah, not every time. Most times, like, if they wanted me to, like, make a used panty for them and they were like, I want to see you, like, get off in them. So, you know, and then I would just show all the details of me doing that, throw in a name if they wanted it, and then dry the panties, vacuum seal them, send them to them. I started mostly panties. I actually sometimes will take them with me when I go to, like, expos and stuff. I took some with me in Jersey to have it, like, a booth. So I'm thinking about doing it again, but I really don't know, because, like, I don't know. It's just, it's really hard to find a groove. And some people, I don't know if they realize like that's out there. Mm-hmm. But when you find the ones that really enjoy it, they're really devoted.
Well, see, when it comes to fetish and BDSM, that is a niche crowd. And also, they're way more loyal than that of people that just get content. Because
right.
It's about the kink. It's about the fetish. You know what I'm saying? So you already in that world, you already was developing a fan base before you even started doing porn. You get what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
And a loyal fan base at that, because I'm pretty sure they continue to buy a whole bunch of stuff. And once you transition to porn, they started buying that too. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like it's any girl that comes from another genre of porn to go into porn, works better for her than if she just came off the street doing it. Because you kind of got a track record and you already been building the fan base. All you're doing is just adding to what you were doing.
Right. There's a library there. And see, that was another thing is when I noticed a lot of like the solo stuff that I was doing seemed to be like dropping off, or I wasn't like hitting the mark, I felt like, on a lot of it, is when I was just like, all right, I need to branch out and start working with other people. And I'm still getting people requesting, hey, are you going to put out solo stuff still? Are you going to do this? So I can integrate that in with working with other people. And I think that's really exciting because it's a little bit less stressful. I live in Iowa, so travel is not always the best. So I think that's a really good opportunity for me to keep integrating like the solo work in between.
And see, too, you both have variety on your site anyway. So I tell any female, even though you may have a bunch of solos, you need to integrate boy girl somewhere. If you got a bunch of boy girl, it's okay to integrate solos. Because you never let the fans say no. Whatever you need, I got on my site. You know, period. Keyword at this site, because we'll get to that in a second with my discussion on that. But not platform, because most of these platforms will let you put everything. So, but it's kind of like, but the point being is, like you were saying, your stuff going down. And people get mad when I say this. Motherfuckers get tired of watching y'all shove a dildo in your pussy. They want to see what you're going to do with a real dick at some point.
Yeah, you can only do it in different ways.
Yeah. Because I believe that the females that get away with doing solo for a long period of time, they webcam too. So they're just not making content. But
I did that a little bit for a little while. I want to get back to it.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Your webcam base is buying that content, not a lot of content consumers. You feel me? And when you see it go down, the reasoning why, because one, because even with the girls that are very creative with their solos, at some point, even if they're able to go 3 years, they have to end up putting some type of boy girl in there to keep the fans engaged. Because you don't ever want to bore the fans. You don't want to. I don't care that you get new ones. You're going to bore the new ones.
Yeah, because everybody likes different stuff. And if there's too much of the same thing, it just looks redundant, unless that one person really likes watching you upside down with a cucumber. But
even if it's one thing, like, boy, girl, you're easy to get away with that, because if you put some role play with it and you just ain't doing just straight fuck scenes all the time, your fans ain't gonna get bored with you fucking to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The whole key is, girls gotta remember, don't bore your fan base, because that's where you lose your money.
Yeah, because you have to come up with like different ideas, different like, you know, scene ideas, or, you know, spy cams or voyeur stuff. And I was doing like the webcam thing for a little while last winter. And then last summer, I kind of tapered off in the spring, summertime, because I started, so I got a cat here on me. I started traveling, so I kind of tapered off. And then I went to like look up something. It was whatever. And I looked at my name and I found a bunch of like pirated cam recordings.
Yeah.
And so I kind of laid off it for a while, hoping that they would give up, thinking that I left the platform. So it's been, I think September was the last time I like streamed really live, because I just got cold feet. I'm like, that's not fair. You know, here I am off, you know, working here, leaving a little bit, working somewhere else, and then they're pirating my shit, you know.
Well, see, that thing, girls got to realize, anything we do going to get pirated. So you can't worry about the pirate. If nothing else, let me tell you what pirate do. If they put on another site that you ain't on, now you're drawing traffic from the site that you wasn't on. That's and on top of that, too.
Publicity's bad, or bad publicity or concept.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes females worry about the wrong thing. Don't worry about being pirated. Actually, if you getting pirated, that means your shit that damn good. Because ain't nobody going to pirate something they don't like. I'm just saying. You know how many scenes I lost, and thanks to you piracy motherfuckers, I found it and was able to put it on my shit and make money with it? Yeah, because once I was on X video, I said, wait a second. That's the full scene. I lost that. Let me get that back. I didn't even report him. I said, no, just in case my hard drive breaks. I know I can find that scene. So go ahead, get your money, man. I ain't mad at you.
So, this looks really good.
I'm saying, I was like, shit, I felt, look, it felt good when I found out that they pirated my DVD when DVDs were something in London. Like, a dude literally showed me a video of these motherfuckers, a side store, having my DVDs in their shit in London, England. I said, I'm not even mad. Thank you.
I know. I was like mixed emotions all at once, probably.
Yeah, because I tell females, understand this, worry about making the money. Don't worry about the pirating and all that, because there's nothing you can do about that. If they want, they're going to get it. Webcam or live show or what have you, because a lot of girls don't realize they do record, they can record the live webcam from their side. You know, period. So it just look at it as great promotion for you, because if you wasn't on Pornhub, he put you on Pornhub. Now you're on Pornhub.
I did have somebody I work with put us on Pornhub. So I'm on there. It's not my account, but I'm on there. So there's going to be hopefully more in the spring on there. We'll see. Excuse me. I thought about getting an account and putting it on there. Maybe I will.
Hey, I tell people, there's nothing wrong with having multiple checks.
Yeah. I heard it helped with like traffic and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's just, I mean, after a while though, you only can do like so many sites as one person.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, this is what girls don't get. You want to have the multiple sites and a .com. The multiple sites, because let me make this clear, I'm gonna say it again, men are creatures of habit. Do not think that you that pretty and you that fat of ass that you can be able to switch platforms and they're going to jump and go to that platform. No, they're not, because they used to OnlyFans, they're going to stick with OnlyFans. They used to Pornhub, they're going to stick with Pornhub. Each site creates its own traffic, so you want shit on there.
Yeah, and some have better traffic than others, I've noticed. Like, some kind of help you filter that in, and others are like, you're on your own.
Most definitely. So now you done went into the boy girl realm, the porn realm. So what was your first shoot? And how did you find it? How did you go about getting it?
My first shoot was a year, it'll be a year in April. And so I kind of put a post up on X, and I was looking, I had been talking, there were some people that slid into my DMs and were like, hey, if you ever start doing collabs, like, can you put me on your list, you know, your to-do list? So, and I was like, yeah, sure. So I started going back through my DMs and I found a couple people I started working with. I think he goes by Daddy Graybeard now. Okay. He was Angry Photo before, and Billy Pilgrim. And Billy was booked up at the time. And so I decided to do like some POV stuff with Daddy Graybeard. You know, soft entry just because I, you know, was new and not super socialized in the porn realm, because I literally stepped off of the other platform within a year of starting the OnlyFans. And then after a year being on OnlyFans, I was going to be on there sooner, but I had some health issues and I had to have surgery. So that pushed me back like a few months. So it ended up being in the spring. So I was hitting like my second year, hitting the ground running in April. I started working with Daddy Graybeard. And when I worked with him, I ran into Billy Pilgrim. And he was like, hey, I had a cancellation. Are you available tomorrow? And I was like, yes, I am. So then I made my first porn with him. And we were thinking about doing like another scene maybe this April, like we reunited a year later. Even though we've worked together like a lot, but see if that happens or not. But yeah, it was kind of like an accidental, like we were both already tested and, you know, all the stuff that we needed to do. It was just like, he's like, I had someone fall through. Are you available? And I was like, absolutely.
Well, y'all at a convention or he just happened to be in town that day?
Yeah. We were at a convention. We were at Exotica in Chicago.
Okay then. So, and it was your first convention that you went to?
It was my second time in Chicago, and then I went to Miami the year before that. And maybe New Jersey. I have to stop with pen and paper. I started networking. No, I didn't go to New Jersey because I had surgery. I went to Miami and then Chicago that year, 2 years ago. So I was starting to network and like get to know people and like know who was who and what booths were there and who ran them and, you know, what sites like went there a lot and were sponsored a lot and like push stuff and promote. And because when it all boils down to it, like, I mean, they all take basically like half of what you make roughly. So like that wasn't like a huge, you know, deal breaker for me. It was just like getting to know people, mingling, socializing, networking, you know, knowing when to travel, who to work with. So I actually like that was my first like I did some solo stuff for Slutwife Confessions like the summer before I happened to fall into that. Excuse me, because I was in Miami and Mr. Kaboom was like, hey, I had someone canceled. Do you want to work in the morning? And I was like, okay. So I did some films with him that were solo, but my first collab would be in here in April. And between last April and November, I think I went to like 4 cities and shot with like 3 or 4 production companies. And like, I would have to sit down. I mean, it was a lot in like 7 months. I was busy.
So now, because when you do boy girl, of course, it's different. Because I know with Graybeard, I know he had to set up. I know Billy. Billy, that's my homie. Billy Pilgrim, we had a little wrestling promo. Y'all need to go back and listen to our wrestling podcast. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to go back and listen. It was good. But I know his setup is Hollywoodish. You know, period. He had a cameraman too. Am I correct?
He had a cameraman.
So all right, now with that, with you filming, it's one thing to film a solo. It's another thing to film a boy girl. You know, period.
Yes.
With the boy girl, now I'm going to jump past Billy and Graybeard because this was content trade. These wasn't companies, because companies shoot a little differently than a content trade, you know, period. Because some of these companies, did you know the male talent ahead of time?
No.
These was paid gigs?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. All right, now.
I mean, I didn't know them personally. Like, I knew potentially who I was going to be with and saw like some socials, but never, not a lot of one-on-one interaction, like very minimal for one company. I think I had some actual interaction.
Yeah, because with Billy and Greybeard, you had time to fill them out, develop chemistry. With the pay gig, you got a short time of doing that. So
right.
We're about to unpack her pay gig, because the content trade and paid are two totally different animals.
Yep.
So now, was you nervous walking into the pay gig? Because you already done shoots to begin with. But like I said, this is different beast, different animal. Because
yes.
One, you don't know who you're dealing with when you walk in the door for so much. You feel me? Two,
yeah,
you're going in the direction of a director.
Or the producer.
Yeah. And they're on a time limit because they got other girls they got to shoot that day. So we're about to unpack it. Walking in, tell me your feelings. Was you nervous? You know, how did the producer and the male talent, especially you meeting the male talent for the first time, how did they make you feel comfortable? How did y'all develop chemistry to be on that camera? You feel what I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna think back because I gotta rewind the brain to like the first
That'd be maybe you had to go back in time and think.
Yeah, because I'm thinking April, and then I know I was like September, October, November. I think the first one would have been in like, September. Mm-hmm. I think there was three. I worked with three last year, I think.
Okay.
If I'm forgetting, sorry. But yeah, so I built a little bit of rapport with one of the performers the first go around. So not like a lot. We talked about like testing. We exchanged like test information ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then on site, like after we signed paperwork, we did everything in person, you know, showed each other our stuff physically too as well. So I had a little bit of interaction. I think it was Jay Playhard, I think.
That name just one that coming up. What's a shout out to Jay Playhard, friend of the show.
So I think he was one of the first ones I interacted with when I was working with Desperate Amateurs. I think the first scene there just dropped in January.
I saw that one, but go ahead.
Yeah. So it was very minimal interaction with like producers. Like they double checked that I was going to be on time and when I was going to be there. They made sure I was going to have my testing. I was, you know, are we confirming? Confirm. And when I showed up, everything was very like clean. And when I say clean cut, I mean like, here's the paperwork. If you have any questions, there were cameras in every room, for like, I guess, you know, security, safety purposes and like roll back the footage. Did this happen? Did she sign or not? You know, so all that went extremely well. It was one of my best first times, when I had to work with someone else, cause I'd worked with one other company alone. But I think it went like really, really well. I was so nervous. I was trying not to sweat to death because when I get nervous, I sweat. Mm-hmm. It didn't help that it was like Tampa in the end of summer, you know? So it was fine. It ended up being okay. Cause like there was fans and stuff and it went pretty well because they were very communicative. Mm-hmm. They communicated very well with like what they expected of the scene, how they wanted us to kind of interact, what we were going to do, if I had any questions. They did like a little interview ahead of time and we had a few minutes to socialize. I had a few minutes to socialize with my co-stars as we were like doing paperwork and stuff. So I never really had like an off vibe or anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other, I believe a lot of the other, the production homes that I work for, I just pretty much communicated with the producers or like the producer's spouse / or assistant.
Yeah.
And I was very, very fortunate to have worked with a lot of great companies last year. I think there was three in total. Can I drop? Is that okay?
Yeah. You can name drop. We want name drops.
Okay. So I worked with Private Society and Desperate Amateurs, and I worked with Blush's new BEVR, so the virtual reality.
He did virtual reality. Shout out to cinematographer.
Yes. And I want to say there was like one more. Oh, I worked for Tadpole when I did the fluffing for the gangbang. That was the other
one. So we do gangbangs.
I was a fluffer.
Oh, you was a fluffer. Yeah, because we did see that she, we did see that you had a article in Hustler magazine. It's Confessional.
I did last November.
Oh my God! Tell us about that real quick.
Which part, the gangbang or the fluffer hustler part?
Well, we'll do the fluffer for hustler, and then we'll move into the fluffer for tadpole. But go ahead.
Okay, so I don't have like a huge following on X. The following I do have is solid, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I see someone come up or comment, I follow them. Like, I was actually in a virtual article for Hustler before I was in the physical magazine. Mm-hmm. I met somebody through that way. They interviewed me. It was John Bluxley. I don't know how to say the name with Hustler. I think that he was hired on to write with them. He's not with them, but he could be now. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details on that, so don't quote me on it. But he interviewed me. It was really, really nice. Like, we're going to use our own pictures because we have ownership of those. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. I think we did like a 400-600 words. Here's some questions. Mm-hmm. I answered them accordingly, making sure I gave the proper information. And it was like three or four months in advance before it came out. It was just like so hard to be quiet about knowing that article was coming out. I cried when it came out that day. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, because you gotta think Hustler and Playboy is the top of the line in our business to be in that magazine, even in this day and age.
Hustler. Like when the movie Larry Flint came out, I think with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, that's it.
I watched that like way, way long time ago and I want to watch it again. So I mean, I've been a fan for a very long time. I've never really had a subscription. I really just love the rawness compared to the Playboy, you know?
Yeah, they were way more risque than Playboy.
Yeah. So, and I can respect both equally, but I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is like a one in a million for me. I felt like it was just like, if my career ends tomorrow, I feel like I've done it all. I've fluffed, I've been in Hustler, and it wasn't a picture spread, and I was not disappointed. Like, you would think some people would be like, it's not pictures, it's only an article. I was so fucking happy. I was so happy.
Yeah, at least you got in Hustle. There's some girls that can't even get in Hustle. So there you go. So now you talk about you fluffing for Tadpole. Shouts out to Tadpole. I got to get his ass back on the show. So how was it fluffing for the Tadpole gangbang?
It was great. And I apologize. Hugh was actually one of the first production companies I worked for. And he did an outstanding job of making sure that everyone got tested and was safe. Above and beyond. And he was very respectful and everything and instructional. I helped a little bit behind the scenes, me and some of the other fluffers, like doing the paperwork as the guys were coming in through the door. I've always wanted to fluff, and I'm like, I just thought that was like, is that really a thing? Is that a thing? Like, I mean, I wanted to fluff for like a long time because I was just like, I don't know if I could do the whole rest because like, I'm not 6 foot, I'm not a size four, like I'm not 135 pounds. So, you know, all that was kind of already in the mental of it. I'm like, I could fluff. I love sucking. I have an oral fixation, right? Like I love sucking cock and eating out and, you know, all the things, fingers, like... stick it in my mouth. And so it was great. We all kind of lined up the guys. There was this moment of truth though, when I first dropped to my knees and this wall of man penis came at us because there was like lines forming. And I was just like, this brings things into perspective. And there was a small chuckle in the crowd and away we went. So it was
real y'all fluffing or that was just off camera?
I was on Tadpole let all the fluffers take their own footage with some rules and regulations. Respectfully. So the fluffers have their own footage. So basically
you had a blow bang. You walked away with a blow bang for the most part.
Yeah. I did a rough head count because sometimes it was hard. There was like lines. The guys didn't really see. My tripod broke, so I had it propped on a chair. It broke in travel on the way there. We're not getting into that. But somebody let me borrow others towards the end. So people were kind of lined up in front of the chair where I had my phone propped. So I couldn't do a proper head count, but the unofficial official head count was 34 for me that day.
So I'm gonna ask you this: why didn't you just? I'm gonna ask you this: why didn't you just do a gangbang
that day?
Yeah.
Mother,
because he didn't have you booked for it, or that's something you wasn't interested in. Option.
It was a complete option for any of the fluffers. Excuse me. It was a complete option for any of the fluffers after the main event, if we wanted to carry on and have our own gangbang or not. I wanted to. Unfortunately, I had to hit the road, and Mother Nature showed up a few days early.
Oh.
So I didn't really feel comfortable fully participating, and I was like, we'll save it for another time. We're going to leave them wanting more.
Oh, my God. So we know Exotica in Chicago coming up. So are you going to hook up with Tadpole, and we're going to get a gangbang with you?
I hope so. I've had some people like tag or whatever, and I've let them know like, hey, I'm open for like a bukkake or maybe like a small gangbang. He's been really busy, so like our interaction's been minimal. So we'll see. That would be nice, maybe in the future. I do need to do some anal training. So if that's an option in the future, I'm only like 2 holes available. So maybe that's why it's, I don't know, it could be as fun as like 3 hole options. For others that other people do more of.
We try to do DP on your ass doing that damn game, man.
Right. I mean, like, this is really boring for everyone, you know? I'm trying to set up, like, 3 males with me. That would be ideal. I have, like, a name that I want to title it, and everyone so far that I've talked to, I haven't been able to match everybody's schedule up, but everybody I've talked to has been on board with the name of it, because I want to have a variety. I like having a variety as a pansexual. I like variety, and I really admire all types of body types and people that are in those skin suits. I came up with a Neapolitan gangbang or a Neapolitan orgy. I want to incorporate like a bunch of like, you know, maybe trans person or BBC or non-BBC, you know, Spanish, I mean, in a Mexican, like mix it all up, you know? With myself.
I'm gonna ask you this though. If a transgender, because they're going to be a transgender woman, are you sure the guy's going to be comfortable with her being there and a part of it? Because
that's enough. That's another thing is I have to check with everybody about that, because I would like to do that in the future. So I'm hoping if I start out with just like cis men or bi men, that would be more easy to kind of integrate later, or know if that would even be a thing in the future. Can I handle doing that? You know, would it work out like planning it and physically doing it myself? Mm-hmm. So this is all the little wheels turning up there and doing stuff. I also recently worked with Feel Good Filth, who has just started a new Filthy Wives X account, and I think there's a mini vids too. So I had my first only girl 3-way. It's not out yet. So that's another thing I can like mark off my bucket list that I would love to do again. That would be fun.
Oh my goodness. So with you doing your content, how often do you try to film your content to keep up with updates and all that good stuff?
I am kind of a binge recorder, because when I do the solo stuff, I'll do like 3 or 4 in like 1 day and then kind of pace them out in between the other collabs. Like when I went to New Jersey, I did like 5 shoots in 36 hours. So like I came in and like just did a bunch, and then I was hoping that would last me until March, but I ran out in January because I didn't do enough. I ended up getting like pneumonia.
Yeah.
And so I kind of didn't get my solo stuff filled in between. And I've got a bunch of other solo stuff as well that I'm planning, like a little bit of cosplay. I got some new outfits and stuff to wear and to do. This is the first time I've worn this one. So it's going to be a travel top. It's gonna be a travel talk, so I'm hoping to buy some more stuff. But usually I will like binge, like when I go in April, I have currently right now 3 booked. 4 is pending, and I want to try to squeak in a fifth one scheduled just in case somebody drops, but I'm only going to be there for like 3 days. So, and that's going to be also like if I get in a booth. So that'll be like in between the booth stuff as well.
Wait a second. Chicago's in April?
Yeah.
Is it, man, God dang it, my birthday month. I'm going to be going to Arizona. I'm trying to go to Arizona for a content house.
I'm going to Orlando the week before Chicago for Jay Playhard's 40th birthday bash.
I'll be in Orlando and then Chicago.
I didn't realize it was that close together when I decided to start booking stuff. And then I looked at the dates because I think the dates for Exotica were like just coming out.
Yeah.
And I used to think that like the end of the month, like the first time I went,
first time I ever heard of Chicago being in April. It normally even be, it usually be in March. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I'm kind of shocked it's in April.
Like the end of April into May. So I was thinking it was going to be like way later or, you know, something. But they did space it out a little bit better this year, I think, with Miami.
Yeah.
Miami's in like June and not July. Mm-hmm. So it's not like July, November, December.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the other dates, but they're like already announcing that the hotels are scheduled to be booked and all this other stuff. And I'm like, holy shit. Here we go.
Most definitely. So now, because you're doing content, you have to find male talents to work with. You know, pretty nice. It's a good thing that you're able to travel, because I know in Iowa, there ain't much there as far as talent to work with. So how do you choose your male talent? Because let's keep it 100. You came in the game shooting with top names. So I'm pretty sure that the talents that you choose need to come with the same type energy, the same type background as Pilgrim, Greybeard, and so forth. So how do you pick your male talents?
But you are correct, though. Even though I'm like new to like personal collabs, I did years before, and I was in the BDSM kink community way before. So the education I brought into knowing it, I kind of... I will vet the people that come in contact with me and like message me. I try to follow back like every so many people, and I'll look at their pages and I will make sure that it's not like spammy or, you know, bots or whatever. But I basically will choose who I work with based on if I see links or if we have any mutuals. Are they posting stuff? Are they brand builders? Or they just want to fuck, you know, fuck a fan type thing? And that kind of thing as well. So I definitely vet the people. I do my research. Mm-hmm. Very important to do your research because for one, you know, a lot of times if you are just doing collabs instead of like just doing like production stuff, I like to intermingle as much as possible. So a lot of times it could only be you showing up alone to work with these people. Mm-hmm. So if they're not willing to be like flexible with your needs and your wants as you are with them, then move on, because it's hard to find high quality people to record with. But as long as they have like good values, good brand building, good communication skills, they're respectful, they're not asking for like pussy pics and tit pics and like free links. And, you know, like I had someone slide in my DMs and they were like, hey, will you work with me? And I was like, and I don't regard numbers as much unless there's like very, very little. Mm-hmm. So that means either they have a new account, their old one got Thanos, so they had to make a new one. But I was be like, do you have a platform I could look at? Do you have an OnlyFans? Do you have any like dot whatever that I could see that you've worked with anybody or that you're even doing solo content to like build yourself up? Do you have any pictures? And they're like, hey, give the amateurs a chance. And I'm like, I am amateur, you know what I mean? Like, so, and I said, hey, build your brand up and come back to me in 6 months. I'll work with you. You know, and a lot of people recently that are coming to me have been building their brand a little bit and they come in and they say, hey, let's do a scene. I want to buy the content. So I'll work for them. Mm-hmm. They can have the content as much as they want. I have, you know, food, meal to get home, money to get home, whatever. That's fine by me. I've vetted them. I've made sure they have content. We've socialized. And I'm not saying like we're going out to dinner, but I mean like DMs back and forth. Yeah. You know, there's some type of a rapport there.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be patient. You know, if they're really genuinely interested in working with you, there's no rush. Usually there's no rush unless you've already worked together. And
well,
you
for
know,
one, ain't no rush because y'all ain't going to shoot tomorrow. So it's going to be a time period where it might be a month or 2 months for y'all hook up. So if you even rush it, it'd be foolish.
Right. And ask business questions like, what do you use for testing? How frequently do you get tested? Mm-hmm. How often do you shoot with other people? Do you have solo content? What are your sites I can look at? Mm-hmm. Asking when I'm not sure about somebody is when I ask the most questions beyond the important stuff. Because if they get impatient with me after like 4 or 5 DMs, they don't have the patience, you know, red flag, because they're ahead of themselves, because a lot of this stuff doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's months in advance. A lot of people don't realize.
When I was active, when I was bringing girls to North Carolina, I wanted to talk to you. And when we talk and we DM back and forth or text back and forth until you get here, because one, I wanted the ice broke. So when she come in, we're working. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to know the lady so I know what type of scene that we can do. What she's willing to do, what she's not willing to do.
Do you like lingerie? Do your fans like lingerie? What color do you like? I'll buy it and wear it. You know, that makes it easier for me. It makes the other pro. I will talk those little details, but you're absolutely right. Breaking the ice, having a little rapport, some flirting. Do you like this? Oh my gosh, I can't wait to blah blah blah. You know,
you gotta work flirt.
Yeah,
because it dudes don't real. I think dudes get it mixed up. Work flirt is to build chemistry. It's not for you to fuck her off camera. You know, period.
Yeah,
I work with a whole bunch of girls. You know, period. Like, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to working with you. With your
you were so sexy. I cannot wait to do that with you. You know, it's way different than like, here is a DM of my cock. What do you think? You want to work together? You know, it's not like, which one do I want to work with next? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not how it is.
Yeah, girls so get excited about me because I sit there and tell them what they need to bring as far as outfits. They already know what we're shooting because I send them a schedule of what the shoot is. The types, the name of the scene, and the scenario that we're playing out, you know, period.
Right, maybe like the scenario. What do you want to do? Do you want me to be like the naughty stepmom? Do you want me to be like, oops, I'm sorry, I knocked on the wrong door. What are you doing? You know?
You would have loved me because I would have had you be the hotel manager that's ready to throw me out for making so much noise. And you were like, well, if you want to stay here, you need to eat my pussy. You get what I'm saying? You know, period. Or, you know, I did one where, you know what I'm saying? She the housewife and I'm trying to get her to vote for my mayor, for my candidate. I got to give her some date. You know what I'm saying?
If people are in a hurry, you're not going to get that conversation. You're not going to get that far at all.
Because a lot of these motherfuckers are just in it for the pussy. They're not in it for the money and to create a legacy. That's the biggest problem.
A lot of people might do that. They might like, hey, I'll fuck you. These are my rules and regulations. That's fine. But they probably have a process to do that too. It's not like anybody who just walks off the street. Yeah, and if it is, more power to them. That's not my jam. But, you know, there's an element about it. A lot of it's a lot of planning, timing, testing, editing. You know, all that stuff. And a lot of people, they don't realize. And I'm hoping I'm not taking out like some of the mystery of it or like the glamour.
We want my podcast so people can understand this. And the smokers know is to give y'all a real look inside of our business. Because a lot of y'all got misconceptions. Y'all don't respect what we fucking do and don't realize all that we got to go through to do it. not just onset, offset. Like, for example, now that you're doing boy-girl content, now that you had to be tested, how much have you adjusted your sex life personally?
A little bit. Yeah. I am ambiambrous, which means I can be in a monogamous or non-monogamous relationship emotionally. So that has, I do have a partner that lives with me. It's called a nesting partner.
Yeah.
So that partner, and I have had like a boyfriend here and there, but it requires a lot of communication, a lot of openness, a lot of talk, you know, and even the same thing with the people that you're going to be sleeping with, you know, and it's, and there's an understanding there, like, you know, we all have private lives. We all have things that go on in our private lives that make us human, you know, like having to have surgery and getting sick. Yeah. And the other thing with the testing is I don't live near a TTS site, right? I go to a draw lab. I go to a draw lab. The closest one to me, I have to drive. So in the winter, I go to a closer lab and have them draw. It's a site where people get tested for work, like drug testing and stuff.
Yeah, LabCorp. So,
huh?
LabCorp.
Yeah.
So I already know, baby. I've been in the business 15 years, baby. I was in the business 15 years before I retired, so I know.
So I go there, and you have to pay for the testing. Now the swabs are extra, MGen's included. Thank goodness for that. The drawing fee per swab, and then have a FedEx it. So the last time I got my testing, which normally is 2 weeks, some people will go 3. Usually it's only 2. Some will only do a week. You have to talk with your people that you work with, really, on who you use and like their portals. And anyway, it was $325.
Didn't I tell you people? It used to be $250 before the engine was added. It used to be $250. That's before the swabbing. That was before the engine, $250. And that didn't even count the drawing fee. The drawing fee was $25. So you had to pay $25 plus $250. So you're talking about $275 total for a gold standard test.
It's gone up just within the year that I started. And that's the thing. So that's another reason why I binge film and I travel. Is because I can't afford to go. I don't have the test site near me to go and get it for like, what is it, 200 and whatever without all the shipping and everything. You know what I mean? Or to use those deals like, hey, we're having a Valentine's Day special. It's 10% off. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't live in a very heavily saturated worker area. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of like binge my test and my work all within 2 weeks. And I try to do it like quarterly. Mm-hmm. So kind of workaholic in that way. See if I work with somebody.
You think about it, you didn't pay all that damn money. You want to get your money's worth in filming. And there's nothing more demoralizing that you didn't pay $300-something in this motherfucker play.
Right.
You know, that's part of the reason why my black ass for so long, thank God people was taking the health department test up until the past 2 years of my business.
Yeah.
You know, period. And it used to piss me off because I'm like, health department goes to the same lab as y'all. So what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? and plus I wasn't one that shoot a lot. Like I might shoot one or two girls a month, and we're talking about over a weekend. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, period. So it wasn't like I was shooting multiple girls, you know, period. So it's kind of like, but now, because it's so much shit that's being tested, you can't even go to the health department no more. You can't even use that no more. And even though health department got a portal. Because so yeah. That, if you don't request certain things, health department don't test for it.
Right.
So, goddamn, $350, that's a car.
There was a clinic. Are you good?
I said $350, that's a car payment, motherfucker.
Seriously. For real. And that's like a couple weeks worth of groceries, you know, like 3 weeks worth of groceries, many tanks of gas. When the weather's nice, there was a place where I was going in Chicago where it was free testing, until the MGen and the swabs came, and then that started like, then we had to wait for that adjustment. Yeah. So there's still gas and tolls. Mm-hmm. And if you have an impairment to your vehicle, like if you have to drive, I mean, and I'm talking like 4 hours one way and four hours driving the other way. So it's just like, what do you do?
Yeah. What do you do? See, people, y'all don't understand what the hell we got to go through to give you these damn scenes. That's why y'all need to pay the price that we fucking asked for these scenes.
And it's tip.
And tip. Yeah, because I saw you get a lot of tips. I got to give you props. You done mastered that, loyal fans. I'm still working on it with my podcast.
I love loyal fans because the messaging system, I can dirty DM people.
Yeah.
And it's every time a message goes back and forth. So it's like a sex panther. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to require like so much for so much time. So if they want to get on and like dirty DM me for 5 or 10 minutes and drop $5 or $10 just messaging me back and forth, they can. They want a picture, I can send a picture. So it's per picture. They also have like MiniViz, they have like a store for just the videos and the audio. Mm-hmm. Or you could have followers, fans, and subscribers. Mm-hmm. So then you have like three tiers of like free.
Yeah.
I follow you, so I get to see kind of some juicy stuff, and your subs, they get to see the full spread.
Oh, yeah.
And they add discounts to my shops. Like, I mean, like 70% off discounts, you know? So like, you know, they're paying to get in there. So I'm encouraging, I'm hoping to encourage those types of tips and things like that, because it gets a push onto like the X platform. Other people see that. And then when I get like a sub renew or a new sub, it'll push those on the platform. And I do retweet sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you'll see me retweet and retweet things two or three. If they don't get the numbers that I like or the good demographic of numbers, because a lot of it's algorithm, even on X. So if you're constantly posting like a picture with a blurb in it, and then you post like text only, the algorithm's going to be like, what is this? There's no picture. So if you're consistent, hashtags seem to hinder me, and then actually tagging people. So I started doing it in the comments or on the picture, follow the tag in the picture. So those are like the little things that a lot of people, I pay attention to that weird shit sometimes, because I know that if I post, hey, here's a picture for the algorithm, but what I really wanted to say is, because it's going to be like, hey, there's a picture, push it out like the rest of them. Instead of like, there's no picture. Why are you, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of it. And then I even sometimes have a hard time when like a queue of like a sale will pop out. Of like MiniVids or something, because there's an at in it, because it's at MiniVids. So then the tag kind of screws up the algorithm. So I have to kind of push that a little bit more. The loyal fans don't seem to be as heavily pushed, because I don't think there's a lot of at. I think there's a more of like a link there and then like some hashtags. So it kind of varies.
I mean, the only at they got is at Real Loyal Fans. It's called at Real Loyal Fans. But the reason why it don't get pushed to the algorithm, because it's not the most popular. It's becoming more popular. But you got to think, MiniVids fans is at top echelon for clip sites right now. So anything that is dropped by them is going to get pushed to the algorithm way faster than any other. That includes Fansly. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was a toss-up for me leaving OnlyFans being my main one. I was trying to decide if I wanted to do Fansly or Loyal Fans. So I started kind of digging around, and I was like, I just went with Loyal Fans for whatever reason. Like, it popped up more. I saw more of it. It just seemed to be the quickest one for me to like sign up for and figure out. I ran into somebody who's like, hey, let me show you the ropes a little bit, screen shared with them, with me, and learn some stuff. But even like the link, they'll give you like a sign up link that you can post like your link in like your link tree or all your links or whatever it was that you use. When they sign up through that free link, you get not perks, but like if they spend money on somebody else, you'll get a little bit of it. But there's a little bit of that perk there. So you'd be like, hey, sign up free through my link tree. So they go through your link, they sign up, they follow you for free. but they spend $20 on this other person, it drops, I don't know, a nickel, a quarter. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Just throwing out numbers.
And see, that's how girls was making their numbers and was making so much money on OnlyFans because of the referrals. Because you get a certain percentage of what that platform, that profile on the platform makes. So if you got a girl that was making six figures and you got, let's say you had 12 referrals and all 12 of these girls were making six figures, you was making six figures damn near off a referral.
And another thing is you can offer, yeah, on OnlyFans, you can say, hey, refer your friend and I'll give you a free month. Mm-hmm. So there's a link for that. So then their friend comes in, covers their sub. They're signed up for three more months. They do the same thing. It's just like it builds on top of each other.
Yeah.
As well.
And see, the crazy part is that a lot of girls have gotten into business when they were seeing everybody post how much they was making. They really wasn't understanding how the girls made that. It wasn't just the content that gave them six figures. They were doing live. They were doing the referrals. And at the time when everybody was posting their shit, there was no restrictions on the paywalls.
Right, and they were offering custom work, live chat, Skypes, privates, because you can do that on OnlyFans because they don't offer privates.
Yeah.
You just have to be careful about the payment part. It's a little tricky, but
yeah, because if you could, like, you could, your paywall, you can make your paywall $500 back then. That's how Jimmy Smack made $1 million. Imagine how it didn't take that many motherfuckers to open up their paywall with him and what's her damn name? God damn it.
Well, and then reasons why I was thinking it was kind of fetish safe, because I remember like some dude or person, I don't remember who it was, stuck a jar in their ass or something.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this was cool. And then I get flagged because I stuck a glow stick in my twat. I mean.
But see, OnlyFans and many of these, a lot of these sites, I keep telling everybody, there are overseas sites. They want to be like Europe. Europe.
Yeah.
Webcam, live cam is king because every country can do webcam. It's legal to do it. You can't do porn in every country.
Right.
That's what these companies are trying to do. That's why they're making the rules harder for people that do boy girl and do the extreme fetish, because they don't want y'all to do it on their platform. That's why Loyal Fans is, even with Loyal Fans, well, no, I think Loyal Fans kind of is a little bit more lenient. And here's the other part. You want to know why everybody want the 2257, the mod release form of everybody that you done fucked on camera? Advertising money. I can sell that information to the advertisers. And I ain't got to worry about the American government bugging me because I'm in England. Y'all do realize
I'm in England. Somebody else I know was adjusting their paperwork to say that you couldn't sell it to like AI companies or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, shit like third party. To get an agreement from everybody and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, because I was just talking to Blush Rocker that the paperwork needs to be changed to take into account AI images, because some of these goddamn companies can take your image and make porn with it and ain't got to pay you a dime and you can't sue them.
Yep. I've thought about making my own AI images, but the only thing I can do to translate it is all safe for work. Like, I can't find any non-safe for work stuff. I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, but see, that's coming, because if they got the safe for work AIs, and we talking about AI sitting here wearing thongs, bikinis, and all that, there's a porn algorithm for AI. They just ain't dropped it yet. They ain't dropped it yet because they don't know what to do with it, and they're waiting to see what happens with AI with Hollywood. Because they don't want what happened to Hollywood happen to the porn industry. Because you have you seen porn stars motherfucking picketing? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, because I mean, think about it. Because that's the main reason why they haven't failed it.
Be like nipples and
The porn industry is looking at what's happening with AI with Hollywood. They want to see how that gets used, because they want to do what I just said. But when they saw these actors and actresses, God, what they call it, they were doing. They walked off the set, you know, they did I just had it on the tip of my tongue.
So they're using like their likeness and stuff and like gonna replace them. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did strike. That's what I'm looking for. They went on strike. See, I'm getting old now, I smoke a lot of weed. They went on strike because of it. So Hollywood version of porn was just looking at how this gonna turn out before we try to unbreak it. Because their biggest issue is, once again, they know that they can't be sued if they take your image, because you got in the paperwork that states that I can use your image for whatever. That's why I say the paperwork need to change now, because when it ends up happening, one of these major companies gonna do it. Girls gonna get mad, they're gonna try to sue, and then they're gonna get their feelings hurt when they go to their courtroom and they lose and they get countersued and gotta pay that company for their time in court.
Yeah.
So, oh my goodness. So look, I done held you on here for an hour, girl. You know what I'm saying? And you know what that means, people. She got to come back. You know, I got to ask the million-dollar question. Miss Lacey Fox, can I call you a smoke buddy?
Yes.
See, there you go. Look how she looked at me when she said that. Sexy ass. That's right, people. You heard it. She will be back here on the Smoker's Lounge, and we're going to bring her to the Premium Smoke Room on, which we were just talking about, Loyal Fans. You see what she's doing, right? Oh, show them a little booty while I'm talking, if you don't mind.
I don't know how transparent my pants are.
Yeah. Oh, all they need to see is that curve and that booty. So y'all getting a sample of what you will see in the Premium Smoke Room. The only difference is she might show bare ass and titties. You know what it is. On Loyal Fans, 5 premium podcasts for you to enjoy. It gets more candid. It gets more wilder. It gets more unpredictable. It gets more crazier. Tits come out. Dildos come out. You don't know unless you subscribe on Loyal Fans. We're no longer on Spotify. And speaking about my subscribers on Spotify, we ain't forgot about you. I'm repurposing the subscription side of my Spotify for Savage Smoke. This is when I talk to all the top male talents. And we talk the real about the business. No sugarcoating, no bullshitting. They're going to be honest. They're going to be candid. And they might even hurt some feelings. But it's for you to listen to. $4.99 a month. The Loyal Fan is $25.99 a month. Also, you get to go to the video store and see me in action. So you can see that everything I talk about, I done did it. And I did it for 15 years. Over 400 scenes, baby. Go check me out. So with that being said, Miss Fox, tell everybody where they can spend money on you, baby.
Tell everybody what?
Where they can spend money on you.
Mini vids, Loyal Fans, Only Fans, clips for sale. It's on my Twitter bio, is my link tree. There is so much up there. Those are the main ones.
No doubt. And the links is in the description, people. So all you gotta do is just scroll down and hit the link. It'll take you straight to it. So y'all go spend that money on this sexist lady. You feel me? So with that being said, we at the end of another episode of A Bonus Smoke. So you know what that means, people. How do we end it? Let me tell you how. Life is a learning experience. What's the point of the experience if you haven't learned anything? Smoke this over. Say goodbye to him, Miss Fox.
Bye.